Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle, and it's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Greg. This is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, you can download our app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. Greg, y'all ready to field the questions?
Always, Jim. Let's do it.
And, of course, we will pick out a best question, and you will get the barbecue package from thetailgateclub.com. All right, let's see. Where should we start here, Greg? Let's start with Captain Jack from Bethlehem. He says, based on Sean Clifford's performance last year, what are the chances that Taquan Roberson will take over the quarterback position in the middle of the season?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that being the case, Jim. We'll see. But, I mean, I don't know. Taquan Roberson, again, I think we heard James Franklin praise him pretty well back during spring practice. That, you know, he did some nice things, and he had some wow moments, maybe as many as anyone. But I think the deep ball is always going to be a concern. The consistency is going to be a concern. And then how good do you feel about putting a guy out there who has not played a, you know, a meaningful snap ever at the midway point of the season? I mean, you'd almost would have to have a lost season at that point to make that decision, in my opinion. And then once you do that, you know, there's really no turning back, I don't think, to Sean Clifford barring an injury. So I don't really know if I see that being the case. We'll see. I'm trying to be, and I know no Penn State fans want to do this, or at least most of them don't, but trying to be optimistic about Clifford and what he can improve on this year. So we'll see. But ultimately, you know, I think if you're Penn State, you hope that Sean Clifford is the answer.
I know there are a lot of folks who are down on Clifford, understandably so, after his last season. But I thought there was enough there in 2019 that, especially with the new offensive coordinator, and I'm very bullish on Mike Yurcich, I think he's going to really add something to this team. I'm thinking that Sean Clifford will be the guy. I think he has to be the guy. So
I completely agree.
I'm optimistic that it'll be a good matchup between Yurcich and Sean Clifford. Let's go to Bill in Easton, who says, do you think either Caden Saunders or Drew Aller or any of the other verbals will get a fifth star now that they are competing in all these different camps?
I think it's a possibility. You know, we have the Elite 11 not too far away. So let's, you know, Drew Aller could work his way into that conversation there. But, I mean, I don't know. It's really tough to be a five-star, right? I mean, you have to be one of the nation's, you know, very, very, very best players. So I'm filibustering here a little bit while I just make sure I get the correct information for Penn State fans. But as we sit here right now, the top two, you know, three guys in or four guys, let's just go with that, in Penn State's class. Drew Aller, this is based on the 247 Sports composite rankings. Drew Aller is 142 nationally, number 11 in his position. Mekhi Flowers is 135 and 19. Drew Shelton's 129 and 15. And Saunders is 114 and 15 as well. So let's then flip over to the full 2022 top football recruits tab, and when you scroll down the list here, you only make it to 35 players who have five-star ratings, and all of them, as far as I can tell here, yes, are at top 10 at their position, and most of them are inside of the top two or three. So my point being that what I just rattled off of those highest-rated Penn State guys, you know, none of them are in that mix. Now, Saunders is due for a big jump. I don't doubt that. And if Aller goes out to the Elite 11 and really shines, he could be in line to join that group too. But I don't know if I see either one of them going from, you know, to answer this specific question, 114 nationally and 142 nationally. I don't know if I see either of those guys going from that to the top 35 where they earn a fifth star. So I'm going to lean towards no right now, Jim, and we'll see how things shake out.
Yeah, that five star is so small, the number. You know, it's about 30-some every year. You have to be at the very top. And to be honest with you, Greg, when you get beyond the first, say, 10 or 15 players who are just freaks of nature,
right,
I'm not sure there's a big difference between being the 33rd ranked player and getting a fifth star and being the 70th ranked player. Probably.
Well,
more,
and let's not forget. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think maybe a better measuring stick might be top 100. And that's a little more realistic for these players. And if you get a top 100 player, you're getting an elite player.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think the other obvious thing to note is that we've seen five-star guys not make it. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big stars guy. So my point there is that I believe that the four stars and the five stars are more likely to be successful than the three stars. We all know that. But Penn State has had five stars that have not panned out for a variety of different reasons. So I won't get caught up in that. I agree with you. If you have a top 100, top 150 guys, you should be really happy with where things are at, whether they're a four-star or a five-star.
And trust your own eyeballs a bit. I think all the tapes and the highlights of Caden Saunders, you know what? I don't care where they rank him. In my heart of hearts, I believe that's a really good football player. And I feel the same way about Drew Aller. I don't care where they rank him. I believe my own eyeballs and the people that I trust who have scouted these players and tell me they are really good players, Greg.
Yeah, I completely agree with that line of thinking, Jim. Again, the idea, the way that, and I believe this all came from Barton Simmons before he left to take the job at Vanderbilt, but when he was at 247 Sports, I mean, look, the idea here is that you are trying to, they are trying to project the, with the five-star rating, they are trying to project the future first-round picks in this class, of which there are 32, so they have 35 five-stars, so they're a little bit over the number, but that's the goal here. They're not trying to make 100 five-stars. They're not trying to make 50 five-stars. They're trying to project which guys will be the future first-round picks. And so, yeah, you're going to have right around between 30 and 38, 7 or 38 five-stars, and that's it. And obviously, there's only 32 guys who can be first-round picks. So I think you have to keep that in mind as well. Just because, you know, we've seen all kinds of stars go in the first round. Now, are most of them high four stars and five stars? Yeah, but obviously some other guys have snuck in there too.
And this is a topic, as you said, you're a stars guy. I look at this, I'm intrigued by it, I love it, but I also want to study it. And we did a segment a while back, Greg, and I'm sure we'll investigate it again. I went back and looked at all the five-star quarterbacks over like the past 7 year span. I think there were 15 of them, and only five of them actually played like five-star players once they hit college. Many
right.
more of them transferred than actually became stars in college. So stars mean a lot, but they don't mean everything. All right.
Correct.
Let's go to Ed in Westchester, who said, are the visits any different this year with such a different schedule?
I don't think so. No. I mean, I guess the biggest difference, Jim, is that a lot of times, like for your class of 2022 recruits, for example, you would have had them on campus as 2023 recruits for unofficial visits, which means they wouldn't have got to see everything, but they would have seen a lot. So now you're going to try and morph those two things, right? So you might have knocked out some academic stuff or some tours of the stadium or tours of this or tours of that, blah, 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 during unofficial visits, during a junior day, during a camp visit, whatever. And a lot of these kids obviously don't have that experience because they couldn't go on the road. So now you have to do some of the basics that maybe you would do anyway, but you now have to do them. It's not a maybe. It's not a, well, he's only been to campus once, so we'll go to some of this other stuff. But, or he's been to campus six times, so we don't need to do blah, blah, blah. I mean, you have to do it all now. So I would say that's the biggest difference. It's not a crazy difference or a majorly impactful difference or something that's going to ruin Penn State's chances to commit or vice versa. But it is another thing you have to build into the schedule. So I would say, yeah, there's a slight difference just because, you know, again, some of the foundational things these guys may have seen and experienced on unofficial visits, they didn't have the chance to do that in this cycle. So when they come for the official, you have to go back to the basics a little bit. And again, Penn State's probably doing a lot of that stuff anyway, but some guys it might be an option, some guys it might be a choice or not a requirement, but I think that is the case this time around.
I don't think the school is treating it all that much differently. You know, these are the things we do on a visit. This is how we present ourselves in the best possible way. What I do think is different, though, is how the players may be approaching this, where they used to have so much more time to make the visits, but just because they weren't able to make visits prior to June, I think they wanted to cram as much as possible into June while they could, and that's why you saw so many players making 3 and 4 official visits in this month alone. And I think it also created, like you talked about at the top of the show, this situation where we're going to have so many of the players make those visits, get home, get together with mom and dad and the rest of the family, and it's like, okay, now let me make my decision. So I think we're going to see a lot of those announcements coming in July. Greg, we have time for one more question, but I'm not going to go that way. Instead, I'd like to take the opportunity to announce that this is your last show as a regular. And I want to just take this opportunity to thank you for the years that we've been together on this show. It's just been a fantastic experience for me getting the chance to work with you.
And me with you, Jim, and the rest of the team. I've enjoyed it so much. And the good news is, as we'll get to talk about down the road, I'm not going too far away from the Penn State world. So we'll stay tuned for that. But, yeah, I'm excited to be back on with you again in the future, Jim, and I can't thank you enough as well. It's been a pleasure. And like I said, I think listeners, we'll get to interact again down the road before long.
Well, that's the very positive news in all this. We can't announce where you're heading off to, but we know that you're going to be staying in the Penn State world, and I just want to officially invite you to come back and visit us absolutely anytime you want, Greg.
Well, and I look forward to accepting that invitation, Jim, absolutely.
Okay, so what are you doing next week?
All right, we'll talk then.
All right, there, you heard it. That, to me, I'll
invitation accepted.
See, that's a commitment that he made, and I know Greg is not going to break his commitments. He won't be entering the transfer portal. When Greg commits to be here, he will be here. So next week, and hopefully next week you'll be able to tell us where you're off to. Is that right, Greg?
That's right. Yep.
That's fantastic news. So, folks, if you're a big Greg Pickle fan, and who isn't, make sure you tune in next week when we get Greg visiting us and telling us what he's up to. All right, that is it for quarter number 3. And Ask Greg, stick around for T. Frank in quarter number 4, and we'll announce our winner. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in 4 Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.